Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the BT Powerhouse Podcast. It is Friday, September 4th. It's actually our second podcast of the day. For those of you who listened to the last one, you already know that. But yeah, it is an exciting time, for our podcast, as we are officially moving into our season preview podcast. We have a lot of really fun and exciting stuff on the horizon here over the next couple of weeks. Talked a little bit about that in the earlier podcast, so if you want full details on that, make sure to listen to that one. But but long story short, next couple of weeks we'll be doing hopefully team-by-team previews. We're going to have to see if how the logistics work out. We might combine one here or there. But overall, we are going to try to do 14 separate ones for every Big Ten team. And it should be really exciting. We talked a little bit about this earlier this summer, but the Big Ten, it looks like it should really be trending up coming in this year. I'm interested to see how that actually shakes out. I think certain areas of the conference are trending up, certain areas are not. But nonetheless, there should be a lot of talented teams, a lot of teams in the old NCAA discussion, as we move into March. And one of those teams that's hoping to get in that discussion, they haven't been there for a couple years now. Haven't exactly had the greatest success, but that's Penn State. The Nittany Lions are really hoping to either get to the postseason in the NIT and maybe pull off the unexpected and actually make it into the big dance. And to help break the team down, we have Chad from Black Shoe Diaries on with us. Chad, how you doing?
Hey guys, how's it going?
Good, good. How's everything over there for you? Yeah.
Going
very
good.
Well.
Going good. All right.
Well, excited to have you on. Excited to chat about Penn State here today. Before we get in the nit and gritty here, obviously we're coming on football season here. So for our Penn State listeners, what's your short thoughts? Your Reader's Digest version of Penn State football this year?
It's all about the offensive line. If they can pull that together and, protect Christian Hackenberg, get the run game going a little bit, I think they're in line for, 8-4, 9-3 kind of season. I don't want to raise expectations too high for Penn State. They had a tough year last year, but they have the talent to pull it together. I just don't know if they're ready yet to beat the Ohio State and Michigan State of the Big Ten yet.
Yeah, it should be. Unfortunately, my Wolverines lost last night, so I was disappointed. But excited just for college football in general. It should be a really fun season. But jumping into the college basketball world here, Penn State not coming off the greatest year. They lose DJ Newbill, who was pretty easily the team's best player last year. Trying to kind of trend up under Pat Chambers here. Before we get into the positional looks, the recruiting class, what are your just general thoughts, goals, expectations for Penn State this year?
This year, I just want them to progress. I don't think the way the Big Ten's shaping up, it doesn't look like they're going to be able to compete for a bid this year to the NCAA tournament or even the NIT. So there's a lot of young guys on the roster who came in with came in as highly recruited players with some really good offers and stuff. So I just want to see them mature and learn the Big Ten while they still have, it's like Pat Chambers. I don't think he's going anywhere this year. He signed an extension last year. So I just want to see the young guys improve and kind of set them up for a nice couple, 2 years coming after this season.
Yeah, and, I kind of have similar thoughts. I feel like this is a team that's going to have more overall talent than last year. I don't think they're going to have, the talent in a player like Newbill they had last year, but I am just concerned it's, you know, young and inexperienced, and how that's going to work out. But regarding, you know, the progress, I think that's an interesting, you know, comment. A lot of programs talk about, you know, getting better each year. What would you define that as? Just playing better, you know, more wins, maybe more success in the conference. What specifically do you think, you know, progress would actually mean?
Now that they don't have DJ Newbill anymore, they don't have really one ball dominant player, one player that can go out in any night and give them 20 points. And I think that's good. You know, a lot of college teams, you know, you don't really see a lot of people, a lot of programs that have just one dominant player be successful. It doesn't work like that, really, in college basketball. You look at the Kentucky teams in the last couple of years, Wisconsin had, you know, at least three guys who could step up any night and get 20 points and carry the team. Penn State's always kind of been that team who always has just one really good player, one Big Ten level caliber player. They've never had, you know, a good supporting cast around them. So I think this is the kind of year where you're going to see the ball spread out a lot more. You're going to see a lot of shots being taken by a variety of players, which is, you know, I think that's what Pat Chambers eventually wants to have. You know, I don't think he wants the DJ Newbill, the Taylor Battle, the Tim Frazier set where you just have that one guy. So, you know, getting a bunch of these young guys some shots, getting, you know, Brandon Taylor is not going to get 20 points tonight, but, you know, he's a valuable player for a team that, you know, he's been around the block now, he's a senior. So they just, you know, they just have to have some more options on offense. And I think when they build that, if they can build that up when some of these other recruits come in 2016 and 2017, that's going to benefit them in the long run in a big way.
Yeah, definitely. I'm definitely in agreement there. But yeah, why don't we jump into this team and start breaking it down here? Why don't we start with the backcourt, which has pretty easily been the strength of the team the last couple of years. What are you looking to see in a backcourt that definitely is going to go through some transitions this year?
I'm looking to look for you know, a point guard that can distribute the ball. They haven't had one since Frazier left 2 years ago. Last year they played Shep Garner at the point. I think he's more suited to play the two. So I think you'll see Devin Foster slide in at the one. And he got more minutes as the season went on, which is kind of rare for any player, really. That's not a freshman. You know, he's a junior college transfer, and he played barely any minutes in the non-conference. But once John Johnson was suspended indefinitely from the program, he slotted into some minutes there and looked pretty good when he played. So I expect him to take on a bigger role this year. And like I said, Shep Garner is going to slide over to the two, I would imagine. He's a better shooter than probably any player on the roster at the moment. And I think he actually had one of the better freshman seasons in Penn State basketball history last year. But, you know, again, he was kind of in the shadow of DJ Newbill. So I expect him to probably lead the team in scoring. And, you know, hopefully he can get a three-point average up for Penn State, because three-point shooting has been such a drag to this program over the past, you know, 10, 20 years even. It's been bad at some point. So that's what I'm looking for out of the backcourt.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. Obviously, the loss of Newbill is a huge blow. But you know, he graduated. Not much you can do there. But Shep Garner was really good last year. I think he really got overshadowed by the fact that, you know, he wasn't on one of the Big Ten's best teams, and just in the fact that, you know, you had D'Angelo Russell, you had some like really great freshmen last year that, you know, if he had maybe come in a different year, I think he would have gotten a lot more attention, a lot more hype. You know, obviously, you were talking about he can shoot from long range, which is going to be huge on this team. He can get to the hoop. He can get inside. I think I don't know if it's – well, we'll see if you agree. I don't know if it's premature, but do you think he's the team's best player coming into next year?
Coming into this year, yeah, I think so. I don't know if he will be at the end of the year, because there are some talented freshmen that are coming in. But I think he's primed. If there's going to be one player that's going to, you know, handle the scoring load and get, you know, put up Newbill-like numbers, it would be Shep Garner, but I don't expect that from him yet. I don't think he has that much potential the way that Newbill had. Because Newbill, you know, he had that strength that that a lot of two guards don't possess. Garner doesn't have a lot of physical tools to work with, not in the same way that Neubiller or Frazier had, but he's got, I think he's, like you say, he's a better shooter than any player on the roster at the moment.
Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah, obviously the new guys are going to be, you know, some of the huge guys to watch. Shep Gardner, clearly, I think, is going to be the big guy to watch in the backcourt. Devin Foster can work in there as well. But yeah, moving on to the wing group here. What are you looking to see, or how do you see the wing group shaking out this year?
This is where Josh Reed needs to come in right away and start from the beginning of the year. And, you know, he's going to be one of these guys that is key to the success of the program over the next 3 or 4 years, because he's one of these highly touted freshmen, top 100 recruit, had offers from Maryland, Villanova, a bunch of other, you know, Mid-Atlantic D1 programs. He was at Oak Hill Academy last year, which, you know, Penn State doesn't really get guys from Oak Hill Academy ever. And he's got the shooting ability and I think the athleticism mostly that can take this program, you know, or be a part of the program that finally has that athleticism to compete at, you know, the Big Ten level. Peyton Banks is another guy I expect to improve his numbers on from last year. He has a reputation as a shooter, but he didn't complete a high percentage last year. He was somewhere in the, like, the 28-29% range. He's comfortable taking the pull-up three, which, you know, not the greatest shot, but he seems to like it a lot. I expect him to get some minutes in the small forward position. He's probably going to be battling Josh Reeves for the majority of the minutes there, so I would expect him to play with a little bit of a fire this year. Davis Mgoulis is the other wing freshman coming in this year. He has a reputation as a shooter. I'm not convinced yet. I mean, we'll see. He's not really a set shooter. He's more of a guy who will, you know, some guys can just sit outside the arc and, you know, catch and shoot really with ease. I don't think he's that kind of player. I think he's more of a coming off screens kind of guy, which is not a great percentage shot, but if he can hit it, it's a dangerous weapon to add to any team. But I'm not sure if he's in line for a lot of minutes this year. I mean, we'll see, because, you know, they are young and they have room to play these guys, but I just don't know if he's ready yet, because he came over from Lithuania 2 or 3 years ago, and I think he's still adjusting to American life yet, but he's definitely an intriguing player.
Yeah, I think the wing group, at least in my view, has the most swing, so to speak. I think it could be really good if things go right. Obviously, a lot of that is going to ride on Josh Reeves. But I also think, you know, things could go pretty wrong, you know, if he's not ready to go right away. And by all expectations, he should at least be a quality starter. I don't think everyone – you really can't guarantee what a freshman's going to be ever. But, I feel like it's a pretty safe bet that he'll be a decent starter. But if he comes in and, you know, takes a little time to kind of get used to the college game, so on and so forth, you know, you're talking about a lot of unproven guys in this area, or guys who have seen time but, haven't been the best. You talked about Peyton Banks, obviously pretty a young guy still. He has decent potential, but, you know, hasn't done a lot yet. There's a couple guys like that. Even Brandon Taylor, if he moves in there, hasn't been the greatest. I would think that would be reasonable to say. Obviously, you know, more proven than, you know, a incoming freshman, but kind of, you know, you don't know, especially because I feel like they're going to try to push him out to the four spot. But it's an interesting spot. But, you know, if Reeves comes in, can play well, I think it'll take a lot of pressure off there. And really, this group could really eat up a lot of minutes if Reeves can produce, if Banks can produce. Because I know you talked about Shep Gardner playing at the two spot, but if these guys are producing, I feel like they could push him back down to the point and just play some of these guys. So I think if it really goes right, they could even help the backcourt as well, at least for some minutes. But
yeah, definitely. Definitely. They have a lot of versatile players, I feel like, this year. Which I don't know if that helps or hurts, you know what I mean? Because it's not it's sort of a square peg round hole situation a little bit with Garner and Reeves doesn't quite have the size maybe to play the three, but I don't know. I think you know, like you said, there's a lot of versatility, and you know, they can move some things around and see how it fits. But again, you know, I'd rather have defined roles for some of these guys instead of, you know, tinkering with lineups all the time.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, and that's why, like, you know, if I was a Penn State fan, I don't think I would be, you know, jumping for joy over the wing group coming in, but I would be excited about the potential there, you know, especially going forward with Reeves. But definitely some interesting guys there. But moving up front, how do you see things shaking out there?
I expect Grant Taylor to start the year at the four, and Jordan Dickerson at the five. They kind of played a smaller front court last year. Because Dickerson protects the rim so well that you can afford to give up some size at the four. And Brandon Taylor, you know, if he's hitting his shot from outside, you know, from those corner three areas, he's a good player. He's definitely a Big Ten quality player, but consistency has been his biggest issue as a Penn State player so far. You know, I don't think he has the potential to carry, put a team on his back or anything. He struggled to score inside last year. He shot close to 40% from inside the arc, which is not great for a 6'6" player that likes to post up. But he definitely has the skill. If he can just get, you know, his mental or his mentality right, he's definitely a solid player. Dickerson, I expect him to, you know, he's another guy that he is what he is at this point. He's not going to give, you know, 30 minutes a game, 10 points, 10 rebounds. He's 20 minutes a game, you know, 5 points, 5 boards, a couple blocks here and there. You know, he's definitely a force in the paint, but, you know, just his inability to stay on the floor all the time because of foul trouble and conditioning issues, it's just, he is what he is. But he definitely gives Penn State the option to play smaller on the wings. Mike Watkins is a guy that Penn State fans should be excited for this year. You know, he's another top 100 recruit, just like Reeves, that he didn't really have time to accumulate a lot of offers because he committed to Penn State so early in the process, but he's a 6'8", 230-pound, kind of freakish athlete, one of the more freakish athletes Penn State's had, at least in the last couple of years. You know, he's a high-energy guy. He runs the floor, rebounds like crazy, blocks shots really well for his size. You know, I don't know if he's a 10-point-a-game player right away, but he'll definitely give them some energy, at least off the bench, probably at least to start the year. And then, you know, as the year progresses, you could probably end up starting down the road. Julian Moore, another guy with a lot of potential. He's got, you know, 6'10 frame, 235 pounds. He's a redshirt sophomore now. He's probably going to be expected to start at center in 2017 or 2016-2017. So, I mean, this year's a big year for him in his development. And the last front court player, Donovan Jack, he's kind of regressed in his career. He started out pretty well at the beginning of 2013-14. He was a kind of a stretch four, but he just never really found success in the weight room. He's never really put on enough muscle to be able to hang inside with a lot of Big Ten post players. So he's another guy. He is what he is at this point. He'll get, you know, he's a good shot blocker for his size, but again, he fouls too much for him to play more than, you know, 15, 20 minutes a game. All in all, the front court is, there's depth there, but it's not necessarily quality depth, at least not in this point in time, because Watkins and Moore are the future, but I hope for their sake that they get enough minutes to progress for the future.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting group. Unlike the wing group, which I feel like can range so much, I feel like this group just kind of is what it is for this season. You know, like you said, I think next year, you know, if you have Moore come on, if you have Watkins come in and, you know, make some kind of impact this year and next year really, really come on, you know, you could have the start of something really good up front. But For this year, I can't see either one of those guys getting major minutes unless maybe Watkins comes in and just blows up. But outside of that, I think it's going to be Dickerson. I think it's going to be Brandon Taylor and Jack taking up most of the minutes. Maybe Jack's role will continue to sort of decrease. He didn't get the biggest minutes last year, especially late in the year. But you have to think up front they're going to go with the experienced guys, especially at first, unless somebody really struggles. But I think it's going to be a decent group. I don't think it's going to be bad per se, but I just unless one of those new guys really blows up, or shouldn't call them new guys, Moore's already there. But unless one of those really guys blows up, I think it's just going to be an okay group that's going to look towards the backcourt and the wing group to kind of carry it. You feel that way, or am I being too pessimistic?
No, I think you're right on. There's not a lot of scoring in the front court. I mean, just Dickerson, Moore, Jack, none of them have really produced at a high level in terms of, scoring output in their entire career. So, I mean, Julian Moore, I think, has more potential than Dickerson or Jack. I think he showed a couple of times last year before he got mono, or he came down with an illness. I don't know if it was mono or not, but he showed some flashes a little bit. He had a three-pointer against Wisconsin, which was crazy because his jump shot is completely out of whack. But, these young guys, I think Pat will be more inclined to play them because I think he sees that this year is just it's not about winning this year. It's more about getting experience with these younger guys. So I think Watkins and Moore will see more time as the year progresses, definitely. You kind of have to defer to Dickerson, Taylor, and Jack because they are seniors. But at the same time, Pat is he's not coaching for this year. He's coaching for the next 2 years, and then after that, it's kind of up in the air. So I think he'll realize that and give his young guys a chance.
Yeah, I definitely agree. But moving on, we hit all three position groups here. Let's talk about some of the new guys coming on campus. We talked about them all, briefly, but in terms of long-term potential, obviously, you would expect at least two of them to play this year, but how do you see this recruiting class factoring out this year and beyond?
It was by 24/7 sports standards, their composite ratings. It was their best recruiting class probably ever. They finished, I believe, in the top 40. By ESPN's metrics, they were top 30, I think. You don't really get that at Penn State a lot, but then again, I don't think these guys are, like I said, they're not, 20-point a game scorers down the road. They're not guys who are, capable of getting their own shot right now, at least. Which is why, they're good. They're great role players. I think any Big Ten team would be happy to have them. These top 100 kids that are very athletic and very, very driven, very energetic. They're not going to carry a team, which is why it was so big for Penn State to get Tony Carr in 2016, but we can talk about that later. I expect them to have solid freshman years. I don't know if they'll have years on the same level that Shep Garner did last year because it was kind of a perfect situation for Garner to come in and, get minutes to the point without being a ball-dominant player. There's a lot of reason for excitement with this group. I think that's definitely true.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those classes that, it doesn't have, as you were talking about, maybe Tony Carter in the future, but it doesn't have the like epic recruit that everyone is just, losing their minds over. But it definitely has two guys who can make an impact this year and beyond that really could develop into pretty good starters. And it's got one other guy who likely will be kind of a role player, maybe turn into an all right starter, just in terms of overall ratings here. But yeah, I think it's a good class, especially considering frankly where Penn State has been in recent history.
Yep,
But
definitely.
yeah, I think this is a class, when people look back, it's one of those that this is gonna let Chambers build the base and then hopefully he can add in those ultra recruits type next year and really get a good starting lineup. But yeah, it does seem like an exciting class though. But spinning off of that, talking about the team, I guess in a little more of a general sense again. What are, you know, we've talked about the position, but what are the biggest questions for you about this team coming into this year?
Just how the offense gels together, because they don't, you know, like I said, last year it was the DJ Newbill show. This year it's, you know, it's more of a shared thing. And I want to see, more of, you know, some offensive sets from Chambers, because, you know, like you said, it was kind of iso ball a lot with Newbill. I want to see how they can get the entire team involved, the entire five, you know, working together to create shots, create easy looks for some of these guys. You know, the defense really improved last year down the stretch, especially. They were great in the Big Ten tournament when they went on that little run. You know, down the road, they held Wisconsin to, under their season average of points per possession in their home game against Wisconsin. You know, so I think they're definitely improving there. The energy and the hustle is always there with Chambers. I just want to see more of an offensive mind from him this year to help them. You know, because they don't have the talent necessarily to win a lot of games in the Big Ten, but and I still don't expect them to win a ton of games. But I want to see more cohesive offense. That's my biggest question for this team is can they create shots for guys without, you know, playing iso ball?
Yeah, you know, for me, I think my biggest questions on this team are really. They sort of match with the positional group, so to speak. But I think I might be a little higher on Garter than you are. But I really want to see if he can become, you know, I don't think, again, I don't want to say, you know, he's going to be the next Newbill. He's going to be, you know, this crazy dynamic player. But you know, I want to see first if he can be the quote-unquote guy for this team. You know, can he really be that guy where, you know, late in the game they can go to him, he can put up the consistent stats, you know, game in and game out to really to lead the team, because you know, even if you know, as we've been talking about, I think overall the team's going to be helped by it not being iso ball, but you know, you still need a star at least. And
right.
So I want to see if he can take that role. I don't know if he can, but you know, I think that's going to be a big question. The second one for me is just generally, you know, what is Penn State going to get out of Josh Reeves? I think most people, again, are pretty optimistic, including myself. But, you know, any incoming freshman, even if they're a five-star mega recruit, you know, you're not sure what you're going to get. So I think he's going to have a lot of say on that wing group and a lot of we'll get to the predictions later, but kind of where Penn State, you know, sorts out in their tier of the Big Ten. And then finally, can someone emerge in that front court? Because there's plenty of options and there's plenty of solid options, but I think if they really want to get into that NIT or better discussion, I think at least one guy has to emerge up there as a scoring, consistent scoring threat, I guess. but yeah, it's interesting. A lot of questions, but generally there's some talent on this roster and to see how it shakes out. I guess on the other side, you know, we've talked a little bit about what we're unsure of. What are some reasons to be optimistic about this team? You know, obviously Penn State fans want to be excited, so tell them what they should be the most excited about.
Yeah, I mean, I was down. I'm not super high on Garner as, you know, the next Newbill or Frazier guy, but I do think, you know, he had his best freshman season at Penn State recent history, which is saying something. You know, when you have guys like Newbill and, well, Newbill wasn't a freshman, but, you know, beside the point, Taylor Battle and Tim Frazier, you know, he had better seasons than both those guys in the college. So I think, you know, he could definitely, like you said, he could definitely become the go-to guy. I, you know, and it's reason to be excited to see how he develops as an off-the-ball player, because, you know, like I said, last year he had responsibilities of bringing the ball to the floor, which I don't think he'll have this year as much. And like you said, the freshmen, I think I'm definitely excited to see them play. You know, Penn State just, we don't have guys like this coming to State College ever. You know, and to get 2 4-star recruits in one class is amazing. So, and I do expect them both to start by the end of the season. And you know, it's definitely exciting to see what kind of, you know, just the pure athleticism they bring to Penn State, which, you know, that's been one of Penn State's, two of Penn State's biggest problems in trying to climb that Big Ten ladder has been athleticism and shooting. And they finally have some athleticism. They just need to get the shooting. So, you know, they're definitely building. I'm just excited to see them build this year. That's the main goal, I think. It's not even so much about wins, losses, as long as it's not a crazy bad record in the Big Ten. So, yeah, I mean, I am definitely excited. I don't want people to get the wrong impression. I'm pumped for some boosts in Penn State.
Yeah, that's why I have to ask that question. make sure we talk about some of the good stuff. But yeah, why don't we move into the I guess the stake of this, what everybody always wants to know, season predictions. You know, again, Penn State not coming off the best last couple of years, losing their best player. But what do you see out of this team, both in terms of the Big Ten overall, and I guess postseason? What do you think? Are they going to make the postseason and or NCAA tournament? What are your thoughts?
Well, I'll start with the non-conference schedule. It's a little bit of a weaker schedule, kind of like last year, but you know that did set the springboard for them to go 12-1 in the non-conference, which, you know, say what you will about the quality of the schedule, it definitely invigorated some energy into the program, which, you know, they haven't seen in a long time. They got votes in the top 25, for Christ's sakes, you know. That doesn't happen at Penn State. So, you know, just if they can put together a solid non-conference schedule with, you know, a couple – their biggest games are against, you know, not great teams. George Washington, Colorado, possibly SMU if they can beat Colorado. You know, not a lot of great, you know, big name programs on there, but if they can get some wins, rack up some wins in our conference, and hopefully get some added fan support at the BJC, that would definitely help them. And the Big Ten schedule, I mean, it's front heavy. At Maryland to open the season, probably the toughest game they'll have for the next couple of years, if not, you know, any team would hate that as their first game, I'm sure. And the Big Ten. At Michigan after that, just a couple days later. They could be looking at 0-6 again to start the conference, but they have, you know, if there's one thing Pat Chambers' teams have done over the past few years, they've ended strong, and they have the opportunity to do that. I think they have the last six games are versus Iowa at home, at Rutgers, home against Nebraska. At Michigan State, it's going to be a tough game, but home against Northwestern and Illinois close out the year, which – there's some winnable games there, so I think if they can close strong, they can maybe finish with 5 or 6 wins in the conference, which would be, I think, a huge bonus considering the way that they played the last 2 years in conference. So, you know, anything with I judge it on Big Ten play so much for this team because the non-conference is not great. So, you know, if they can finish with 6 Big Ten wins, that would be amazing. But I think 4 or 5 is more realistic, and I don't think they'll compete for a postseason bid just because the non-conference is so weak and the conference slate is just – they're not ready yet. Simple as that. They're just not ready.
Yeah, I think I'm on a relatively similar terms regarding the season for Penn State. You know, just to kind of do the same thing you did, you know, starting with the non-conference, really – there are very few games on there that are really that tough. You know, they really could win. The Colorado one, I think the Buffaloes are going to be an interesting team. I actually wrote about them for another site. They're an intriguing team, so that one could be a little tricky. But, you know, Boston College isn't great. You know, they're playing some teams like Eastern. DePaul has been a nightmare for a while. You know, they could definitely... I don't think it would be that amazing for them to do what they did last year, you know, 12-1, coming into Big Ten play with a lot of energy. Heck, it was unlikely, but it wouldn't be that astounding if they won out, frankly. You know, potentially, you know, if they got matched up with SMU or whatever, that might be tough, but it wouldn't be that astounding. but yeah, as you said, jumping into Big Ten, It is going to be a gauntlet. And didn't they open with Wisconsin last year too on the road?
They did. Yeah. They always every year. They're always at the top five team in the country. It always happens that way. So no different this year.
Yeah. Talk about bad luck.
bad luck
but,
or Jim Delaney hates us. You can pick.
Yeah. Yeah. Who knows? Typical Delaney. But yeah. I mean. Realistically, like you said, they could lose a lot of those first games. At Maryland, at Michigan, Minnesota at home, but Minnesota's another one of those teams where you're not really sure what they're going to have. Michigan State at home, at Purdue, at Northwestern, Wisconsin, Ohio State, Michigan, at Iowa, Indiana, like none of those games are gimmies at all. I mean, really until you get to the last, five or six games, that's when you start getting to the teams where it's like, oh, yeah, they'll probably win this game. But before that, none of those games are gimmies. They'll probably steal one or two, just out of, craziness. But, but man, that's going to be tough. But yeah, I mean, I think Penn State will sort of be on that NIT bubble for a while. But I think, unfortunately, it's just going to be too many losses in Big Ten play. Yep. maybe they'll pull off some upsets. Who knows? If they beat Maryland or do something. I mean, they almost beat them there last year. maybe that'll be enough to get them in. But I do think they're going to fall short of the NIT. And I'm in agreement with you. I think next year's the year when you're really going to start to see progress. If it does happen with Pat Chambers, and the big thing if they can kind of do what they did last year, I think that would say a lot, considering they did lose DJ Newbill, who is I'm sure you're familiar, but one of the best players Penn State's had in a long time.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, if you lose a player like that and you can even just maintain, I think that says a lot about building your team, building your program. But overall, it'll be an interesting year for Penn State, and obviously crazy things happen. People thought Maryland was going to finish 10th last year, and they didn't, so including myself. But any final thoughts here on Penn State before we end the podcast?
I guess just, recruiting is a big thing right now, and they have Tony Carr. Committed, hopefully signed by November. They have two other guys, Nazir Bostic and Joe Hampton, who are, quality kids for Penn State to get, and they're still in the hunt for at least two or three more four-star players that would definitely, help this program get to the next level, which is that mid-tier Big Ten range. So, this year I think it's still just about, like you said, maintaining. If they can do that and finish, four or five wins in the conference, that's fine. They right now, I think Pat Chambers is relatively safe. He just signed a contract extension. I think the athletic director Sandy Barber believes in him, which is more support from an athletic department than he's ever had. So if he can just maintain and get a couple of nice scalps from Big Ten play, a couple upsets, that's fine for this year. They don't. I don't think the expectations are that high that they have to win all these games just because Pat got an extension. I think they're ready to, or they're set to just get better as the year goes on. As the year goes on, I think that's plenty good for them. I feel like I say it every year, but next year's the year for Penn State.
Yeah. I guess my final thought is just, I wanted to throw out as well, I normally, last year I tried to have them in where I thought they would finish in the Big Ten, so I'll throw it out again. My last Big Ten rankings, I had them like 12th, ahead of Nebraska and the Rutgers, behind Minnesota, Northwestern.
Yeah. I think that's totally fair.
Yeah, I think I might, I'm definitely going to review them, before the season starts, but I did want to throw that out here. I think it'll be a... it's going to interesting season. I think a lot of people are going to be kind of frustrated that things aren't happening faster. But as long as you see the progress, I think it'll be a good year for Penn State and the program. And, as long as they can, I hate to use this because, people always bring up Rutgers. They beat Wisconsin last year and then they did nothing. But I think getting a big win will add a lot to the program. And, you know, if they can upset, even if it's not a great Wisconsin team or Indiana or, you know, Iowa, something like that, you know, that Iowa win late last year, I thought added a lot of energy to the program. And I think if they can grab another one of those, I think it'll really keep them on that trend. But yeah, all right. Well, Chad, thanks for joining us. And you can check out Chad's stuff at Black Shoe Diaries, which is the Penn State SB Nation site. But thanks again, Chad.
Thank you, Thomas. Good talking to you.
Yeah, definitely. So once again, that was Chad from Black Shoe Diaries. I encourage everyone who's interested in Penn State or just a Big Ten fan to check them out. They put out great stuff, both football and basketball, and I think they cover a lot of Penn State sports. But yeah, just to reiterate again, we'll be continuing these previews. I think we're going to have Rutgers in the next week or so. But yeah, it should be an interesting season for Penn State. Probably still some building pains, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out and some of their new players. But again, I'm Thomas Bendit, manager over at BT Powerhouse. You can follow me at TBEINDIT on Twitter. And thanks again, and we'll see you next time.